to the book of Colossians. We'll get started tonight. I'll turn on, I was about to forget about that, Matthew. All right. If I can find it, I know it was in there this morning. There it is. While you're turning there, I'll give you an update on our furnace. They started on Monday. They came and took out the old one, and they got it done this afternoon. It's probably about 4 or 4:30. Got it hooked back up and running, and we are very, very thankful for that. I hadn't said a whole lot about it, but these past 10 days, it was giving up the ghost. It'd come on and quit, and I'd work on it and get it started back. And finally, last Friday, I guess it was, it quit, and there's nothing I could do to get it started back. So we had the weekend. We've got an electric hot water heater, so we weren't totally out of showers. We could wash dishes and stuff, but since Friday, so praise the Lord, it warmed up over the weekend, and I was talking with somebody about it, and I'm sort of glad that it did, the one we did have, finally just all the way tore up, and that way we know we got every bit of good out of it. I mean, we didn't waste one good day out of it. So the Lord knew 45, 46 years ago, whenever my grandparents put it in the house, how many days that thing would need to run. And so I just wanted to share that with the church. We're very thankful. We did shop around all we could, and they didn't have the final bill, but we'll come in well under the $8,000, which I was thankful for that, because everything's high, and my goodness, that's a lot of money, and we very much appreciate it. And I wanted to let the church know about that, so we're thankful. And Brother Terry told me, he said, I wish they'd hurry up and get that thing put in so it'd warm up. That's how it is, you know. Wait on something and then the weather will change. We won't need it, but I'll be thankful for that too. But anyway, I wanted to share that with you tonight before we got started. And Colossians chapter 1, we'll look tonight in God's Word. And last week, if you were here, remember I said we start in verse 9, and I said I was going to read one sentence, and that one sentence is from verse number 9 all the way through verse number 17. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read all of that again tonight, but let's do read down verse 9 down through verse 13. I'll try to get that far tonight. But the Bible said, and you'll remember that this is Paul's prayer for the church in verse number 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I want to try to get through those verses tonight, and I thought, you know, I'm trying to move along I hate to use the word quickly, but I'm trying not to get bogged down in one verse on one thing. But there's a lot of good things in the book of Colossians, and a lot of nuggets, I guess you might say. And if you were really digging a nugget out of the ground, if you'd found a precious metal, piece of gold, whatever else there is, you would take time to dig it out. And you'd take time to dig around it to make sure you got all of it. So we're not in a hurry. We're waiting on the Lord to come, and he can come at any time. And so, not putting a time limit on it or anything, but there's just a lot of good things. He's talking in this prayer. and how he's praying for the church at Colossians. And last week we got to the middle of verse number 11. And that's where I'm going to pick up tonight, maybe go back and say a little bit more about this power and strength that he's talking about in verse 11. But he says in verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. And that's where I stopped last week, remember, and I said, well, you'll just have to wait for it. Well, patience, that's where we left off, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. But I want to say just a little bit more about verse number 11, the first part. And I've got these words underlined, strengthened. He's talking about having strength. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience. And the subject there is spiritual power. And we need spiritual power in order that we might carry out what it's talking about in verse number 10. And verse number 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, that we would walk worthy of his name, that we would walk in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord. Then we talked about in verse number 10, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So there's the subject in verse number 10 of walking worthy, pleasing the Lord, being fruitful, increasing in the knowledge of God. If we are going to fulfill verse number 10, then we need the power of verse number 11. The first thing I realize when I read this is that I cannot do that. I cannot do what verse number 10, what Paul is praying for us to be able to do. I mean, in and of myself, I cannot walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I can't do that, not in and of myself. I cannot be fruitful in every good work in and of my own self, in and of my own power. I cannot increase in the knowledge of God without the help of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and teaching me. The Apostle Paul realized this. He said in Romans 7 and 18, he said, for I know that in me, and in it says in parentheses, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. And that's what I'm saying tonight. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul realized that he couldn't live the Christian life in the power of his flesh. You and I cannot please the Lord. We cannot walk worthy of his name in the power of his flesh. We cannot be fruitful in the power of our flesh. We cannot increase in the knowledge of God in the power of our flesh. When Paul realized that, you know, if he realized that, surely we realize that. If he can't do it, can I do it? No way. Paul couldn't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it tonight. When we realize the magnitude of what we're called to do, the seriousness of our responsibility, I see in and of myself that no amount of roll up my sleeves is going to get the job done. You know, and a lot of times that's what we try to do. We try to do God's work, which is spiritual work, in the power of the flesh, and we just can't do that. Now, we put a whole lot of effort and a whole lot of planning and a whole lot of resources into Bible school, and that is all necessary and that's all good. But if we want a spiritual harvest, we need to make sure that the one that's really leading is the Lord. The one that we're looking to bless is the Lord, the source of our strength. In all that we do, not just Bible school, but radio broadcasts, supporting missionaries, witnessing on the job or in our community, anything we do for the Lord, we need the Lord's spiritual strength and help. And so we just cannot do this in and of our own. So our aim is verse number 10, our resource in doing that is verse number 11. That's strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. I was reading Oliver B. Green, and he said, "The power to be an effective minister is imparted from God Almighty. We do not pray it up, pray it down, work it up, work it down, nor acquire it in a seminary." I thought that's pretty good. You know, if we could work this thing up in and of the flesh, but we can't. He said, we don't pray it up, pray it down, work it up, work it down. It comes from God. We say, where do you get that? Is that really true? Well, that's what the Bible says. Psalm 62 and verse number 11, the psalmist said this, "God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." So if we need power to do this, we need to go to the source, and the source is not ourselves, the source is God. We need His power to do His work. That just makes sense. Has to be His power to do His work, because it is spiritual work. And spiritual work takes a spiritual ignition, a spiritual fire. I remember hearing Brother Jimmy Rose preach years ago, and he was talking about physical work versus spiritual work. He said he'd a whole lot rather do physical work. If you go out here and you say, "I'm going to cut down this tree, I'm going to cut all the brush off of it, haul it off into a pile, burn it up, cut it up into wood, stack it in a place," he said you can do all that in a day's time and stand back and wipe your brow and say, "That's what I've done today. And I've worked and I've sweated and I'm sore because I've done it. I know I've done something." But spiritual work, you can work just as hard and you don't know if you've done any good or not. Spiritual work is just in a whole nother realm, but it's still work. But it takes the power of God and it takes His blessing upon it. The Lord told the early church, Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That's the key. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So if we need His power to be witnesses, we also need His power to walk. Because if we don't walk right, we're not going to witness right. And it's talking about our walk here. In verse number 11, he said, "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power." I'm glad He's got the strength to do this, because I don't. I'm glad He's got the power to do what needs to be done, because I do not. But he goes on talking about our walk. He says, "Strengthened according to His glorious power unto all patience." You might want to underline that these next words. I'm going to show you a few things about them. But he said, according to His glorious power, unto all patience. That word patience, I'm sure we all know a little bit about the word, but it means cheerful or hopeful endurance, constancy. To be constant in something. To not give up easily, to keep on keeping on. One writer referred to it as Christian stickability. I thought that was pretty good. Just to stick to it. Just to keep on keeping on, no matter what comes in our life, no matter what happens to us, no matter what trials we have in our lives or tribulations or problems that we have in our lives. There is a part of being a Christian that we just need that patience to stick to it and keep on keeping on and keeping on no matter what. When I was growing up and learned to ride a bicycle, or if you learn to ride a horse, or if you fall down, get back up. If you fall off of a horse, best thing to do, get right back on it. Get up. If you get knocked down, don't stay down. Get up. That's the picture of patience when I think of it. Cheerful endurance, constancy, keeping on. Keep your place in Colossians chapter 2 and go over to the book of James. And it's just a few books over. But in James chapter number 5, I was studying and reading over here, that phrase come to my mind. You've heard of the patience of Job. And that's what we find in Job, or in James chapter number 5. He refers to the patience of Job. We've all heard about that. In fact, that's part of our everyday common language in America. Somebody will say, he has to have the patience of Job. Where does that come from? That comes from the Bible. And in James chapter number 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says this. We find this exhortation. It says, take my brethren, the prophets. He's using them for an example. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. And this suffering and patience is linked together in Colossians chapter number 1. So he says, take them for an example of the two things there, suffering, affliction, and of patience. Verse number 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. God's not going to put more on us than we can bear. That's what it's talking about there in the last part of verse number 11. God is very pitiful. He's of tender mercy. But he said, we count them happy which endure. If you will endure, if you'll have patience, and you get on the coming out of it side, on the other side, you'll be glad. You'll be happy. If you study about the book of Job, you'll find out that in the whole scheme of his life, taking into account all that he went through, the end of Job, was he was happier, he was better off than he was at the very beginning. And so God doesn't allow things to come into our life to try to kill us or make us miserable. He allows things to come into our life to bring about happiness in our life. But we have to have patience in our life when trials and affliction and suffering and tribulation and all these things come. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16, the first part of the verse says, for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. I've known people, and so have you, it seems like they have so much trouble in their lives. One thing after another, just like Job. Do you know what a wonderful testimony it is when the just man falls 7 times and rises again, and rises again, and rises again? The lost in the world, we might say, oh my goodness, what is wrong? Why is that? Why are they going through that? Because I guarantee you there's somebody looking at them, and it's having a profound impact upon their life to see that God grants patience, God grants mercy and grace during times of long suffering and trials and tribulation. And when the righteous rises again and gets back up and gets back up, you've heard of the patience of Job. In Job's life, it was just one thing right after another, and that's how it is with us sometimes. And so we have to have strength for these times. We have to have power for these times. You can't go through some things just by your own strength, pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps and all that kind of stuff. We just can't do some things without the Lord's help, without His power. So unto all patience, and it goes on down in verse number 11, there's another word there, long suffering. The way to underline the word long suffering is underline long, put your little dash in there, suffering. Because it's one word, but it's telling us two things. Not just suffering. It doesn't say short suffering. We could all get through short suffering, probably, couldn't we? I mean, if we just knew it's going to last like a television show, wouldn't that be great? If everything, all the problems, all the suffering, all the trials that we have in this life was short suffering, like television, 30 minutes, major problem, major crisis, 30 minutes later, really probably about 22, something like that, because you got to have commercials in there too. But you know, in a very short period of time, it's all solved. It's all happy until the next time, and all the problems and all the, you know how it is. But the Bible doesn't say short suffering. The Bible says patience and long suffering. Even when we read the Bible, it's hard for us, or if we're not careful readers, it might be easy for us to look over the fact that as we read the Bible and read, say, as it says in James chapter 5, to take the prophets for an example, it's easy for us to forget the sometimes long amounts of time that they did suffer and that they went through the things that they went through. We're studying the life of Joseph. We're coming down to that's what we're studying in Sunday school. As we were studying last Sunday morning, I thought about Joseph and where he interpreted the dream, the baker and the butler there. And, you know, he said, "Remember me when you get out of here." And the guy forgot. Was it the baker that forgot or the butler? I've just forgot. It doesn't matter. The butler forgot. He forgot about Joseph interpreting his dream. And in Genesis chapter 40, that happened in chapter 40. In chapter number 41, the very first verse says, "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years." And I was thinking about that Sunday morning, how hard that would be. 2 years. Joseph thought, surely he'll remember me and I'll be out of here in a few days. A month goes by. 2 months goes by, 6 months goes by. You know, by then he knew he'd been forgot about. A year anniversary rolls around. Another year starts. It's not short suffering, it's long suffering. And the only way that he could keep his testimony during that time of trials in his life, God had to help him. And that's the only way we're going to keep our testimony and have a witness like we ought to have. We need what it's talking about in the first part of verse number 11. Strengthened with all might. That's the only way you're going to get through long suffering. According to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. I thought about how easy it is. Maybe you read the Bible through every year and you get to Genesis chapter number 50. And it says Joseph was put in a coffin in Egypt. And then you read Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter number 2. And there's Moses, the baby, in the basket in the Nile River. How many times do you realize that between Joseph being put in a coffin in Egypt and Moses being put in the Nile River in Egypt, there is almost 400 years there. By the time you get to Exodus chapter number 12, and I think it's verse 40, verse 41, it says that their sojourning in the land of Egypt was 430 years. Long suffering. Sometimes things just don't go on in our life, but it goes on in the life of our children and our grandchildren, and our grandparents were affected by it. 400 years, that's a long time. Do you know this year is the 400 year anniversary of the King James Bible? 1611 to 2011. You think about what has happened in 400 years. If you met an Englishman from 1611, I guarantee you couldn't understand what they were saying. That's been a long time ago, a lot of changes. I don't believe you could understand them, because when I lived in England in 1988, I couldn't understand them and they couldn't understand me. I had to learn English. They had to learn hillbilly so we could communicate. But you think about 400 years ago. Long time, long suffering we're talking about. The book of Job took place over years. He lost his adult children. By the end of the book, he had another crop of children that had grown up. One of the daughters was named Jemima, and I tried to talk Kim into naming Chloe Jemima, but she just wouldn't do it. It's a beautiful name. It's got a great meaning to it. So maybe next time, I don't know, or maybe one of the children will have a grandchild and name them Jemima, but I think that's a pretty name. But that whole book took place over a whole generation there. Long suffering we're talking about. The Babylonian captivity, you read about it. 70 years in captivity. That's a man's whole life. And so long suffering. Sometimes we need power, not just for 30-minute victory, but for a generation, for a lifetime, for something that my grandparents struggled with might also affect me in my life. It does. Sins of past generations affect us and our children and our grandchildren and right on down the line. And you think about in the span of your Christian life, how many trials you're going to have, how many disappointments you're going to have, how many setbacks you're going to have, how many times you're going to fall to temptation and give in, and how many times you're going to be tempted to give up. And I mean, there's all kinds of things comes into our lives. But you know what sets us apart and makes us different? That coming back. Patience. Long-suffering. Getting up and going at it again and keeping on. And we can't do that by ourselves. It takes the power of God. He has to strengthen us. He has to give us power to do that unto patience and long-suffering. Now, it goes on down. Not only patience and long-suffering, but there's another little word there in the last part of verse number 11, with joyfulness. And that's not just a hypocritical smile. That's not just put on. That's the real deal. Joyfulness, it doesn't just say with a happy face. Sometimes Chloe gets up from her nap and she'll walk in to where we are, and she's not napped long enough, and she's got a long pouty face on, and whining. She paying attention? She'll talk about it if I call me out after church. And we see that she's not napped long enough, and we'll say, you need to go back to bed. And you can't get up and come in here until you come in with your happy face on. But you know what? When you're by the time you're an adult, you learn to be a hypocrite and put on a happy face but not have a happy heart. And joyfulness is the matter of having a happy heart about the thing. So patience, endurance, long, during times of long suffering with joyfulness. And the way that you need to underline that word is underline the word joy. And then a dash and the word full. Joyful, being full of joy. That's what fullness is. Joyfulness, being full of joy during all of these trials. Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we're going to have trials. We're going to have things in our lives. We need the strength of God. We need to have joyfulness in times of long suffering and all of these things. And then it goes on a little bit farther. We go into verse number 12. On top of all of that is giving thanks. Giving thanks on top of that. So, you say tonight, now let me get this right, preacher. We're going to have patience because we're going to have trials. We're going to have times of long suffering. In our lives, we may go through things in our lives that we never get over. The end never comes in our lives. And we're going to have joy about it. And we're going to have to give thanks about it. That's what I'm saying. That's what the Word of God says. That's asking a whole lot, isn't it? That is. I can't do that, can you? Well, that's why we need verse number 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. That's the only way we'll ever be able to do that. That's why we need that. And Paul knows that. And Paul is praying for the church at Colossae that they would be strengthened according to His might, that according to His glorious power when all these things come. Now, I get a blessing out of that. Because I know I can't do that. I know I can't be that way. I have to have His power. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks. The Lord showed me something about that in the context of the trials and the long suffering. Giving thanks. The Lord showed me something about that through my own life's experiences, that if it were not for trials and patience and long suffering and coming out of something every once in a while, we wouldn't even know how to give thanks. You know how it is. You don't know how to appreciate something if it don't cost you anything. But when something has cost you, you're more appreciative. You're more thankful. And trials and having to have patience, they cost us something. We're more able to give thanks. We don't even know how to give thanks until we've went through some trials and long suffering in our lives. I've talked about this. I've shared these things with you before from my personal experience, but the failure of a business is a hard, hard thing to go through. Anybody that's ever been down that road, and I told you how that we didn't know what to do, and that towards the end, I just made up my mind I was going to give thanks in all things. That's what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Can you give thanks for everything? That's what the Bible says. Because that's God's will. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so I tried to do that towards the end of our little adventure there. And it just, from that point on, God began to move and God began to work. And we're still not out of the woods and we've got a whole lot of things up in the air. But I'll be honest with you tonight, I'm more thankful today than I've ever been in my whole life. Just for how I've seen God's hand work and move in my life. I really am. I'm more thankful today than I was a year ago because of the things that has happened in our life and that we've experienced in our lives. I'm more thankful. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, "What are you doing now that you're not in business?" I said, "Well, the first thing I do is when I get up in the morning, I thank God that I'm not. And then I take it from there. I'm thankful." And had to, but oh, to get to that point, it's a rough road. But I'm thankful for the things that's happened in my life. More thankful than I would have been had I not gone through those things. I hope that makes sense to you tonight. What I'm talking about. Giving thanks. Joyfulness. Giving thanks, talking about in the midst of trials. Can't do it in and of your own selves. Now, I want to try to close tonight just with a devotional thought. I don't think I can get through everything that I'd like to bring out in verses 12 and 13, but I want to just show you something that the Lord showed me, not taking it word by word, but let's just read verse 12 and verse number 13 together, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Verse 12 said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Now, there's a lot of little things in there I want to try to bring out. But when I read verse 12 and verse number 13, what I find there is that gives us a big picture of life. What we find there in verse 12 and verse number 13, we find two kingdoms are mentioned, two realms. There is the kingdom of, one is darkness, and one is the kingdom of light. He's talking about two kingdoms here. Read that with me again. "Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. See how he's talking about two things there? He's talking about where we used to be. It was in darkness, under the power of darkness, but he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, which is the inheritance of the saints in light. Two things he's talking about there. Somebody asked, is arguing about the Bible. And you know, there's some out here that they want to adhere to the originals. But the thing is, there are no originals. Because the real Christians wore out the Bible, translating and making another Bible and another Bible and another Bible. But you'll even find notes in these perversions about the original manuscripts. There are no original manuscripts. And they'll ask the question, well, how can a translation be better than the original? Well, that's a principle that we find in God's Word. Here, the translation is better than it was before. Because that's what God has done for us in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're better now after the translation than we were before. And there's another, it's in the book of Hebrews where it talks about Enoch before his translation and before his translation and after he was taken to heaven. He's better off after the translation. But that's just a little thing there about the being translated. But we see the big picture here. If you and I will learn to be big picture Christians, it'll help you out immensely in your Christian life. We get all out of sorts and tore all to pieces over little things in life, but in the big picture, most things really don't matter much. And Paul here is reminding us of the big picture, that in the big picture, we have an inheritance. God himself hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son out of he's delivered us from the power of darkness. There's two kingdoms. And that's the big picture. And so when I think of the big picture, I'm not bothered so much by the little things. I don't know if anybody else has noticed it, but there's a lot of unrest in the world. Anybody else been noticing that? I mean, more so than I can ever remember. A lot of nations, and I've been thinking it. Well, I've been working on a message along those lines, but anyway, I don't want to get ahead of myself there because I don't have all my thoughts together, but there's a lot of unrest in the world. A lot of talk in our nation about the economy and all of these things. Honestly, tonight, we will never, ever be the nation that I grew up in. Never go back. It is completely, utterly impossible. Our debt is too great. We're being destroyed from the inside on purpose. It's a hard pill to swallow. But the sooner we just realize that and realize in the big picture, it has to happen. If we're Bible believers, it has to happen. And thank God that it is, because God has something better. I mean, America's a great nation. It's still the greatest on the earth. I don't want to live anywhere else. But I'd rather live in the millennial reign. That's far better. I'm glad America's not going to last forever. Every nation is going to die eventually, because we live in a world of death and everything dies. Apart from resurrection, it's going to. So in the big picture, it ought to encourage us tonight, just what we've been delivered from and what we've been translated into. I was singing about that song today, and I can't think about it without hearing the Statler brothers sing it. And the reason for that is because when we were in England, I got some gospel records and made them into cassette tapes. So you young people don't even know what a record is, but went to the library and I got, they had Doc Watson and Willie Nelson gospel record and Elvis and the Oak Ridge Boys, and they had a song the Oak Ridge Boys, they sang In the Sweet By and By. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. By faith, we can see it afar. It's in our red songbook. We don't sing it very much, but there's a better shore. There's a place of light absent from darkness. And so I'm very, very thankful for that tonight. And I'm going to stop right there.